somewhere between abnormal and paranormal. I'm Jeremy Scott on this Wednesday night. We're really going to head there tonight on the program. Fascinated to talk with our two guests tonight, Ron Meyer and Mark Reeder, who have written the book, The Bigfoot Alien Connection Revisited. And, of course, Ron behind the movie, The Bigfoot Alien Connection Revealed. I'm really impressed with the way that they take this, in fact, that they bring the interdimensionality into it. Many times there seems to be a little bit of friction involved in the Bigfooter community as it relates to that, because they think that it discounts what it is that they're trying to do, but not necessarily. In my opinion, what it actually means is that, you know, these are likely flesh and blood animals, but that they exist somewhere else, maybe through an interdimensional gateway, a doorway, a portal, however you'd like to call it. Things such as UAP and monsters and PSI and animal mutilations, even apparitions. Is it possible that those are all the result of alien life trying to contact us in the form of interdimensional phenomena? That is the premise of The Bigfoot Alien Connection Revisited. And it's so good to have Ron Meyer back. And for the first time, Mark Reeder, both from the state of Colorado. Welcome to the show.
Howdy.
Howdy, thanks for having us on.
Absolutely, from the Rockies, right?
Yes.
We're right up against them.
Is that a paranormal hotspot, per se?
Not quite where we live. We live in Boulder, which is probably the best-known place closest to us. Well, Mark actually lives in Boulder. But if you go up in the hills a little bit, yeah, there's a lot of ghostly activity in the ghost towns along the Front Range. And, of course, the area around Estes Park is famous for its Bigfoot sightings, which is the gateway to Rocky Mountain National Park.
One of the things that you look into is something known as the Skinwalker Ranch phenomenon. I think folks are familiar with that. It's a good descriptor because of the type of activity that goes on there. And it does seem to be that there is some sort of portal at play there where all of this phenomena is, you know, allowed to happen. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
So we tie into that because we would classify that as a paranormal hotspot. The my whole endeavor in terms of the first movie, The Bigfoot Alien Connection Revealed, was the discovery there are these places called paranormal hotspots where multiple paranormal phenomena are occurring sort of simultaneously in one geographical area. I don't mean like all in one day, but periodically they show up for people, and they're diverse. And usually there's one or two people that are kind of the focal point of the phenomenons going on. And so I embarked upon a project called The Paranormal Highway, which is a series that's just been released on some streaming platforms, where we went to paranormal hotspots, at least we thought they were, to see if we could get at least three or four paranormal phenomena on camera. And in every case, we happened to do that. The book sort of summarizes these experiences in a categorical, semi-scientific way.
Mark, what's your background in this whole search for answers on this phenomena?
Well, I'm trained as a historian, a master's degree from the University of Cincinnati, and so I bring a background in history to the project. But the other thing is that I've kind of brought on because I'm a skeptic in the way that I view things, and what I find working with Ron, who's actually a pretty well-known, if not world-famous, paleontologist as a fossil collector, I found that he brings the same kind of rigorous scientific observation to observing paranormal activity that he does with his fossil collecting. So while I'm a skeptic, I have to admit that everything that Ron finds out is this it's this observable data, and it makes me less of a skeptic on this, but more so my own experiences that I've had. I'm able to say, wow, there's something here that's kind of trying to get my attention, and which is one of the first, which is the first chapter in the book, something's trying to get our attention. And from that moment on, my skepticism was more internal and less external, I would be a good way to put it.
Mark, what was trying to get your attention? What do you mean by that?
Well, I had I've had a couple of unique experiences where I was. It seemed as though something was trying to tell me something, but I wasn't listening. And then a strange phenomenon would happen to me, and I would just pass it off as curious and nothing more. But as Ron and I. As Ron was doing the observations and writing the book, and I was helping him write the book, I came to understand that in the same sense that you have something like a portal opening to another dimension, whether you wanted to call it a fifth dimension or whatever you want to call it, there's a portal that's trying to get my attention saying, hey, listen, there's something that's happening here that's going to increase your awareness. And of what humanity is about, what the world is about, if you're only willing to listen. It took me a long time to be willing to listen. A lot of that had to do with working with Ron on this book.
Okay, so was there a moment where something really grabbed your attention and you became more open to listening to it?
There was. I had a strange experience where I was driving with some friends, and we were going up into the mountains. And I'm looking out the car window, and this monster thunderbird from the Lakota Sioux Indian tradition is flying over our heads. And I'm looking up at this thing, and I'm going, wow, this is really weird. I've never seen a bird like this in my life. And I mentioned to my friends, and they look up, and what they see is an airplane. Like a jet. And I'm going, no, that's a bird. And I realized at that moment that people are exposed to these phenomena, these paranormal phenomena, and people see them in different ways. My friend saw a plane. I didn't see a plane. And I swear to God, that was not a plane. That was this giant thunderbird. And Ron and I discussed this situation, and he brought me on board, and it was a real eye-opener for me.
Ron, what does the evidence show as far as some sort of interdimensional aspect at play here?
So should we try and define interdimensional?
Perfect way to start.
I think probably the most common definition is that it's a phenomenon that's sort of liminal between some other area, some other world, where whatever's behind the veil, whatever you might want to call it, that can from time to time enter our dimension, and in some cases in a very physical way, because if something's going to communicate with us, it has to show up in some way that plays on our senses, right? By and large.
And seemingly this could be something that we could see, or even something that maybe we can't see.
See, hear, touch, you know, get, feel. And the interdimensional notions kind of centers around the idea, further idea that that what shows up here doesn't have real agency. By that I mean in and of itself, it's not doing anything. It's like a puppet, that whatever is on the other side, can we say, is the agency behind it. So even though it can materialize briefly, you know, as a physical creature, for example, something that could leave footprints and then just disappear, It doesn't do anything, because it's the thing on the other side of the veil that's controlling it. That's the interdimensional aspect of it, which, you know, is an interesting idea. I'm not saying I buy it totally, but it's certainly been put forward by some really good thinkers, and they're exploring that sort of possibility, how that could work, which would require a certain level of manipulating space-time that we can't quite do yet.
But interdimensional, what's the evidence for it? If you think about interdimensional, basically what that means is something that, well, can manifest in a variety of different ways. Do we have lots of stories about people who have seen these creatures, I guess, morph or maybe shapeshift or something like that?
There's, you know, the literature is full of these examples. And in fact, I sort of go back, and Mark can testify to this, to, you know, throughout history where people have had, let's say, an encounter with an angel. Many, many saints in the Catholic tradition, you know, have had that experience. They have paintings of something from the sky appearing to them. And so it doesn't have to be a Bigfoot. It could be something that looks like a UFO. Just to elaborate on Mark, one of Mark's comments is that Ray Hernandez, a friend of mine, had this. You know who he is? Have you had him on?
Consciousness and Contact Research Institute.
Yeah, so you've had him on, right? And he told you about his own experience that triggered him, right?
Absolutely. He's got a fantastic story. I mean, we could probably talk for 5 hours and only scratch the surface. We've talked for about 5 hours on about, you know, five different occasions. But, fantastic story.
But, you know, the thing that triggered it for him was that something appeared to him and his wife, and he saw a spaceship and she saw an angel. So what we bring to the table, each individual, to, let's say, this broadcast from another dimension, we play a role in interpreting what it is, because it still has to show up, as far as I can tell, as something that goes through our sensory system. So, for example, we think we opened a portal on our land, which is in the Rocky Mountains. You ask about, is the Rocky Mountains paranormal? We captured on a trail cam coming out of this area that was over and around a mutilated deer that was dropped at our gifting site. And they're weird little creatures. Now, whether how long they lasted and they're still running around, I don't know. Or if it was just for us to, and whoever we were communicating with in terms of our production, to say, hey, look at what's present here. So I don't have a real feeling. I mean, it seems almost impossible to me that they could be running around, but, you know, maybe they are.
Do you guys get the perception that these life forms, in whatever, form they might be, are intelligent beings?
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, for sure. There's an intelligence behind it.
Why do you say that, Mark?
Well, let's take Isaac Newton, for example, or René Descartes, 17th century mathematicians and scientists. Both of them talked about being visited by, and they would say it came in the realm of dreams or spiritually, by beings that enabled them to increase their awareness of what they were studying. So Newton goes on to do the Principia Mathematica and discover calculus, and René Descartes is basically the architect of the modern scientific method. So these beings, when they appear to individuals, whether it's St. Francis of Assisi or Paul on his way on the road to Damascus, these beings definitely are brilliant and are opening the door and saying, here's information or data for you, and you need to have it if you're going to complete what you're going to do. And you're not stupid if you can do that. I mean, it's just too obvious that you've got to be brilliant to open that portal.
So you guys would be subscribers of the theory that there is a portal or a gateway or whatever, which then allows all of these manifestations?
Well, if you look at the situation at Skinwalker Ranch, they're moving towards the concept of a portal. Like I said, on our land, when the creatures came through, we kind of figured there was a portal. In two of our other investigations, we found one of the signatures of a common signature of what people call portals is a sudden drop in temperature, a very localized cone of coldness. And we captured that on film twice, once in state of Washington, and then again in Wisconsin, when we were investigating the Beast of Bray Road, where strange things happen. So there's a correlation there, but I don't know if it's proof concept, you know, for sure. It certainly would indicate that maybe because it's opening to another dimension that's in space in some way that's colder. How this happens, it's beyond me. It's a physical manifestation that can be recorded for sure.
There's also, in my opinion, there's also a second type of portal. Jeremy, you're familiar with lucid dreaming, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
And your listeners would be familiar with it too. When you think about it, lucid dreaming is a portal that we open in our dream state where we can travel anywhere to view something. I have a extremely good friend. He's a martial artist. And at one point we were talking one day and he said, you know, I had this real interesting experience once with my martial arts teacher. He said to me, you've got to stop spying on me when I'm training. And my friend says, this is what my friend, martial arts teacher, said to him. And I asked him, I said, what did he mean by that? He said, well, I was spying on him. And I said, how is that possible? You live here in Boulder and he lives out in San Francisco. He said, I was using lucid dreaming and I could see what he was training and how he was training. So he used this portal in his lucid dreaming to go visit his master and watch him train. So these things these things are recordable. There's lots of instances of them when people do these sort of things.
And do you think there are locations, known locations would be a better statement, where these portals or openings are known to be?
I think Ron probably has a better answer for that than I do.
Well, I was telling you, we are trying to investigate what we call paranormal hotspots, where we have paranormal phenomena occurring, right? Could be a Bigfoot sighting, could be, you know, a felt sense of presence. It could be orbs, a number of things. That there's necessarily a portal in association that we could identify where we capture quite a few paranormal occurrences. I said we were never able to quite do that. But in a certain key places that I told you, at least three cases, we had something we could identify as a portal. And of course, Skinwalker Ranch has the big one associated with its going on. So it seems to be at least possible and happening, but not necessarily all the time. And there's another way that Mark's using portal, which is kind of like a what I call now an anomalous channel that opens up from the other side, in which you get information. And everybody's talking about it now, that you get these downloads that come like, oh wow, what was that? And all of a sudden you run off and do a great work of art, or you see a piece of technology and you reverse engineer it and make millions of dollars. So that's another case of what people are now calling portals that open up for people from time to time. You ever had that experience?
Have I personally encountered a portal?
Well, kind of a sudden download of something that, oh wow, that's true, I didn't know that, or I get how to do this now. It seemed to come out of nowhere.
I mean, I can't claim that I have any special knowledge or powers or anything of the kind, but I certainly have heard of many of those stories over the years. Gentlemen, what are the main points that you want to get across? Are there some connections here that people may not be aware of?
Oh, I'm sure that's true. Just let me say the really big one I wanted to do this is I wanted to make it acceptable for people who have these experiences to acknowledge them and be okay with them. And, you know, this the landscape's changing here very quickly, especially since those Tic Tac videos were released where the government said, yeah, there's something here we can't explain. So part of our mission is to make these things okay to have and wonder about what they might mean or what they're pointing you to, and, you know, open you up to more of them. So you're going to say something, Mark. That's one of the primary ones, but not the only one.
Well, for me, the important part of the book is exactly what Ron was saying about, in terms of talking about these phenomena and saying to other people, if you've experienced this phenomena, it's okay. But even more importantly, I think what the book tries to get across is that these phenomena have a purpose, and the purpose is not party jokes or an evening's entertainment. The purpose is an expanded awareness for people. And individuals who are open to acknowledging that they've had these phenomena, where it's either a meeting a Bigfoot or a portal or a lucid dream, they have a chance to enhance their own humanity, their own human awareness of what's going on around them, as well as perhaps a chance at a breakthrough invention of some kind. But I think that's just the icing on the cake. The bigger part is understanding more about our human condition.
Ron, what kind of experiments have you done on some of these properties?
Well, we use a lot of the, the ghost busting technology. Are you familiar? You think your audience is familiar with some of the devices people use?
We've talked about gidgets and gadgets, before previously.
So for example, there's a REM pod, which is my favorite device. It looks like a small canister, but what it does is it puts out a small radio frequency as if it were, a radio transmitter that's very weak, but it's three dimensional, and you set it out in the field. And if something enters that field, like you put your hand there into it, it starts going off, and the more you interrupt the field, the brighter the sequence of lights are. So, and it makes a sound too, so it's all very dramatic. But most of the time, when you stick it out there, nothing's happening because there's nothing to go through. So what happens from time to time is the thing goes off, and so something's in there messing with the field, but you can't see it. So you have no detection of what's going on, but there's a presence there. And this is one example of messing with our electronics, which, as the people at Skinwalker Ranch are saying, is it shows that whatever this intelligence is that's doing this is precognitive. That is, it has to somehow see the future so it can thwart or modify what equipment's doing, like turning off our cameras, freezing them up for no reason, draining batteries. So we've had at least one time where we had the REM pod and an audio recording go off and operate with full batteries, that particularly the audio recording should go for days, and the batteries drained in a matter of 20 minutes.
So what, are aliens appearing as a variety of these interdimensional beings, in your opinion, Ron?
So whether they're beings or not.
Forms. Life forms.
I would say it's an intelligence. It's a precognitive intelligence, which is, about as far as I can go, because it shows, you couldn't do that messing with technology unless there was some intelligence there, right? And like I said, it's kind of clear that if you're going to do this stuff, you kind of have to know what we're up to when we set up experiments and set out equipment. So that's where the precognitive aspect comes in. And they're sentient, if you like that. So there's three things there. Whether they're beings or what form they take ultimately, I have no idea.
But do you believe that they have the ability to appear in a variety of ways?
That's what the evidence points to. The data points we have points to that's very much the case, that people have these contact experiences. They're contactees. Mark's a contactee, I'm a contactee. And, they're real experiences. knowledge. They could be, you know, something that we, that our imagination puts together, maybe, or they could come from some outside intervention that's making them present, that we can receive in the form of a Bigfoot or, you know, the Beast of Bay Road or something like that.
Go ahead, Mark, your thoughts.
Well, I'm listening to Ron, and he and I have had this conversation so many times that I really can't add to what Ron's saying at this point, because I happen to concur with what he's saying. And it goes back to the examples throughout history, and which I mentioned once before, whether you're talking about Paul on the road to Damascus, Muhammad, an illiterate member or illiterate storekeeper in Saudi Arabia. It's around 600 AD. He writes down the Quran, but he couldn't read, he couldn't write. So you have all these experiences throughout history of people showing that there is some sort of connection, and the connection that they have is with some interdimensional being or presence.
Gentlemen, do you think that these beings could also be a part of our evolution as humans, but, you know, again, they just appear into a different form, and so they're unrecognizable?
For me, anything's possible, but I have strong doubts about that. I would not argue for it. I can't disprove it.
Yeah, we've actually discussed this from time to time and have come up to that conclusion that anything is possible, but there's no argument that we can make that would definitively prove it.
Well, gentlemen, it was great having you both on the program, Ron Meyer and Mark Reeder, authors of the Bigfoot Alien Connection Revisited. Tell us where folks can pick it up. And you still have a film available as well, Bigfoot Alien Connection Revealed.
Yeah, the movie's on Amazon. It's on Tubi. It's on YouTube free, but with advertising. And there's one other one, but I can't remember. The book's available from all the traditional booksellers, you know, online booksellers, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. So, yeah, you punch in the title and it'll come up on Amazon. You can get it as a digital download, which gives you color pictures, or you can buy a hard copy and they're black and white.
Thank you, both of you, for coming on the program. It was my pleasure having you here.
Thank you, Jeremy. It was a pleasure.
Good to chat with you again, man.
Absolutely.
Keep it going.
Ron Meyer and Mark Reeder, authors of The Bigfoot Alien Connection Revisited. I'm Jeremy Scott from the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest. The Extraterrestrial Diplomacy Conference is happening tomorrow. You can get your tickets at Alliance, the number 4ET.org. That's Alliance4ET.org. And we will talk to you tomorrow night on Into the Paranormal.